Libya is showing it is serious about disarmament. Today it began destroying its chemical weapons. The move comes as part of Libya's promise to get rid of weapons of mass destruction. And U.S. officials say they are impressed with Libya's level of cooperation. This week, the White House lifted some of the sanctions that were imposed on Libya after the 1988 Pan Am bombing over Scotland. NPR's Vicky O'Hara has more.
Libya decided to disarm voluntarily and verifiably after long months of quiet negotiations spearheaded by Britain. Yesterday, the White House announced that in recognition of Libya's performance, the U.S. had lifted restrictions on travel to Libya by Americans and would allow U.S. companies with holdings in Libya to negotiate the revival of their operations. At a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing yesterday, Chairman Richard Lugar, an Indiana Republican, said that Libya's decision to disarm has had a dramatic impact on the campaign against weapons proliferation.
Libya has allowed weapons inspectors of the International Atomic Energy Agency to access its weapons sites. American officials have transported more than 55,000 pounds of sensitive Libyan equipment and documents to the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. Access to Libya's weapons program has resulted in a treasure trove of evidence exposing a nuclear black market that stretches from Libya to Pakistan and Malaysia.
Paula de Sutter, Assistant Secretary of State for Verification and Compliance, told the committee that in the past 2 months, U.S. weapons experts have removed dangerous elements of Libya's nuclear weapons and advanced missile programs, and are working to inventory and remove even more nuclear material.
As a verifier in the world of weapons of mass destruction, I am not usually full of good news. But the success of Libya is a ray of light in the otherwise dark world of the WMD black market.
Both Republican and Democratic senators congratulated the administration on the outcome of its Libya negotiations. But Lugar cautioned the administration not to move too quickly to embrace a regime that Washington long has treated as a pariah.
We need to assess the effectiveness of each of our sanctions policies and ask what action should be required of Libya before a particular sanction is lifted. We must develop performance benchmarks to guide our policies with respect to Libya.
William Burns, Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs, assured the committee that U.S. engagement with Libya will be guided by two principles.
First, Libyan action, not promises or an artificial timeline, will drive U.S. policy. Second, any evidence of Libyan backtracking on its commitments will result in a reevaluation of our bilateral engagement.
The White House lifted some of the restrictions on Libya amid ongoing multilateral talks with North Korea about its nuclear weapons programs. Administration officials say that Libya should serve as a model for North Korea and other proliferators. But several senators suggested yesterday that the administration has been far more willing to negotiate seriously with Libya, an oil-producing nation, than with poverty-stricken North Korea. But Paula de Sutter says the situations are very different. Libya, she points out, has committed itself to disarmament.
North Korea has not made a strategic commitment to give up its nuclear weapons program. Neither, in my view, has Iran.
There is another difference that de Sutter did not mention. North Korea, unlike Libya, is believed to have at least one or two nuclear weapons. And while the United States refused to negotiate with North Korea for much of last year, North Korea made it clear that it was enhancing its capability to produce more weapons. Vicky O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.